There is proud happiness. Happiness born of doing good work in the light of day, years of worthwhile labor, and afterward being tired and content and surrounded by family and friends, bathed in satisfaction and ready for a deserved rest. Sleep or death, it would not matter. Then there is the happiness of one's personal slum. The happiness of being alone and tipsy on red wine in the passenger seat of an ancient recreational vehicle parked somewhere in Alaska's deep south, staring into a scribble of black trees, afraid to go to sleep for fear that at any moment someone will get past the toy lock on the RV door and murder you and your two small children sleeping above. Josie squinted into the low light of a long summer evening at a rest stop in southern Alaska. She was happy this night with her Pinot in this RV in the dark, surrounded by unknown woods, and became less afraid with every new sip from her yellow plastic cup. She was content, though she knew this was a fleeting and artificial contentment. She knew this was all wrong. She should not be in Alaska, not like this. She had been a dentist and was no longer a dentist. The father of her children, an invertebrate, a loose-boweled man named Carl, a man who had told Josie marriage by documentation was a sham, the paper superfluous and reductive, had 18 months after he'd moved out, found a different woman to marry him. He'd met, and now was improbably, impossibly, marrying some other person, a person from Florida. It was happening in September, and Josie was fully justified in leaving, in disappearing until it was all over. Carl had no idea she had taken the children out of Ohio, almost out of North America, and he could not know. And what could better grant her invisibility than this? A rolling home, no fixed address, a white RV in a state with a million other wayward travelers, all of them in white RVs. No one could ever find her. She'd contemplated leaving the country altogether, but Anna didn't have a passport, and Carl was needed to get one, so that option was out. Alaska was at once the same country, but another country, was almost Russia, was almost oblivion, and if Josie left her phone and used only cash, she'd brought $3,000 in the kind of velvet bag meant to hold gold coins or magic beans. She was untraceable, untrackable. And she'd been a Girl Scout. She could tie a knot, gut a fish, start a fire. Alaska did not daunt her. She and the kids had landed in Anchorage earlier that day, a gray day without promise or beauty, but the moment she'd stepped off the plane, she found herself inspired. "Okay, guys," she'd said to her exhausted, hungry children. They had never expressed any interest in Alaska, and now here they were. "Here we are," she'd said, and she'd done a celebratory little march. Neither child smiled. She'd piled them into this rented RV and had driven off, no plan in mind. The manufacturers called the vehicle the Chateau, but that was 30 years ago, and now it was broken down and dangerous to its passengers and all who shared the highway with it. But after a day on the road, her kids were fine. They were strange. There was Paul, 8 years old, with the cold, caring eyes of an ice priest, a gentle, slow-moving boy who was far more reasonable and kind and wise than his mother. And there was Anna, only 5, a constant threat to the social contract. She was a green-eyed animal with a burst of irrationally red hair and a knack for assessing the most breakable object in any room and then breaking it with incredible alacrity. Josie, hearing the roar of a truck passing through on the nearby highway, poured herself a second cup. "This is allowed," she told herself, and closed her eyes. But where was the Alaska of magic and clarity? This place was choked with the haze of a dozen forest fires spread around the state like a prison break, and it was not majestic. No, not yet. All they'd seen so far was cluttered and tough. They'd seen seaplanes. They'd seen hundreds of homes for sale. They'd seen a roadside ad for a tree farm looking for a buyer. They'd seen another RV, not unlike theirs, parked on the side of the road under a high, sheer mountain wall. The mother of the family was squatting on the side of the road. They'd seen lacquered log cabin homes. They'd seen in a convenience store, also made of lacquered logs, a t-shirt that said, Don't blame me. I voted for the American. So where were the heroes? All she knew where she had come from were cowards. No, there was one brave man, and she'd helped to get him killed. One courageous man, now dead. Everyone took everything, and Jeremy was dead. Find me someone bold, she asked the dark trees before her. Find me someone of substance, she demanded of the mountains beyond.